I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Today's scripture reading comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 9 through 13. Hear these words. How can we thank you, God, enough for you in return for all the joy that we feel before our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you face to face and restore whatever is lacking in your faith. Now may God our Father, Himself, and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, just as we abound in love for you. And may He so strengthen your hearts in holiness that you may be blameless before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all His saints. May God add His blessing and understanding to the reading of His Word.
Thank you, Terry. I appreciate the reading. I'm going to tell you, and as I do, I'm going to hand something out to you. And I will ask you later to read it. So if you don't want to read, you can wave me off, but just know God's watching. No pressure. Just want you to know. I know you know how to read. Now here's the story. There's a couple that met one night. They just happened to see each other and they were out to eat. And they became interested in each other. And in their interest, they got better and better at getting in touch with each other. They decided they were going to have lunch once a week so that they could talk. So this couple became really quite well known to each other through this meal that they had. But then it got to where that wasn't enough. Just having a meal wasn't enough. So what they did is they started, yeah, I saw that look. They started calling each other. Well, we know about cell phones, right? You have a cell phone and you just keep going and going with your cell phone and calling people. And so they started calling each other quite often. And the more they called, the bigger their phone bill got, right? And they started going over their minutes. Anybody here ever gone over their minutes on their cell phone? Well, their cell phone bill went from $40 a month to $300 a month. They were calling each other quite a bit. Now, here's the question for you. Midge, do you want to read? Say you do. Claudine, do you want to read? Okay, there you go. So anyway, their phone bill increases, and it just gets to where they cannot get enough of each other. They are so passionate. Thank you. I think your mom wants one too. Now, I want you to answer this question for me. This couple who wanted to be with each other so much that they called each other often, they ran up their phone bills. That's going to be an easy one. So their phone bill goes way up. And the question I have for you is, did their phone bill go up because they became passionate about their phone? Did they love their cell phone so much they just had to use it? Is that what happened? No. What in the world happened? You want to pass them down? Okay, I know some of you want to read, but I got to get back to this. Here's the thing. They did not become passionate about their phones. Their phones weren't important. What was important is they became passionate about each other. And so the phone bill went up. In so doing, this couple finally, eventually, got married. Now here's the thing for us. prayer and scripture are our way of communicating with God. Just like the phone was for this couple. Again, it wasn't about their phones they became passionate about. It was about each other. If you're passionate about God, you'll pray and you'll read Scripture. You will. You can tell me, well, I read Scripture, you know, once a year. Or I pray whenever I need something. But if you're passionate, if you're passionate about having God in your life, that would be something you do regularly, would it not? That's passion. Now, the scripture that Terry just read for us, one of the things that is said in there and Paul makes clear is I'm going to restore, I want to restore your faith. Restoration is important. When was the last time we restored our faith? When was the last time we became passionate about praying, about reading Scripture? When did that happen in your life? Have you been restored to God? Is that what you do now? Is pray for restoration that you may be passionate about your love of God? Is that not what Jesus did? Jesus said, I'm going to help you be passionate. I want you to be passionate about my Father in heaven. Passion is an important thing. And if we don't have the passion for God, then what is it we do have a passion for? If we're going into the Christmas season and we have a passion for Christmas so that we can buy gifts and open gifts, where does that put us in the faith scale? As followers of Jesus, many things have been presented in the Gospels and the writings thereafter that we're supposed to do. Jesus told and tells us how to restore our passion for God. Jack, would you read what you have there?
Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it.
Is that not a teaching? Julia, what do you have?
Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets.
Golden rule. Do you do to others what you want them to do to you? Is that how you show your passion for God? Is by treating people the way you want to be treated? Richard, what do you have?
Mine is a blank.
Yours is a blank. Fill in the blank. What would that be? Judy? Another teaching? Jane, what you got there?
Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your mind, what you will eat or what you will drink, more than food and the body more than clothing.
When was the last time you read that? Any of these that we've read so far, when was the last time that you read that in Scripture? Or do you go through life saying, oh, I've read all this before? 20, 30 years ago. I've read it before, but you know I don't reread it. And what we know about Scripture is every time you read it, you learn something new. That's true. You get a different perspective. There's Scripture that we read in our Sunday school class and people say, I never thought of it that way. Or, you know, now that I read it, that isn't the way I always understood it. So we have all of these things that we're being taught. Now, Bob Wilmoth, what do you got back there?
But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment.
Another teaching? Angela? Thank you. Okay, I won't be calling on all of you, but there are teachings all through Scripture, and we're hearing some of those teachings, and we have things before us that tell us what it is we're supposed to do as Christians. The question is, have you been passionate enough to study it? Have you been passionate enough to pray? Have you been passionate enough to read Scripture? Or is it, I learned that in Sunday school when you were 12, and now you find yourself at 60 or 70, and you say, oh yeah, I remember hearing that. Remember hearing it? Maybe that's what people did after Jesus ascended, is they said, oh, I remember hearing that. But they never really practice it. They never really go back over it. They never really put themselves in a position to understand and become passionate. So why do I say restore our passion for God? Perhaps this story will answer your question, and Beth is going to have all kinds of reflections as I tell this story. But it's a true story. In a remote Swiss village, there was this beautiful church. But it wasn't the beauty of the church that attracted the people, it was the organ. It had the most beautiful pipe organ ever. And every time that organ played, people from all around would come to hear it. People had heard about it and would come into the village from around the world to hear this organ because it was so beautiful. Then one day, it started playing bad notes. Didn't sound so good. Ever had that experience? So the organ isn't playing all that well, and the people started falling away. Nobody was coming anymore. This went on for years. They called in the experts to fix this organ, and the experts said, I can't do it. I don't know what to do. They tried everything, and the organ never played right for them. So one day, a little old man comes. He says, how come I don't ever hear the organ play anymore? And the minister said, well, it doesn't work. Well, why don't you fix it? Well, I've had the experts of the world come. Nobody can fix it. The old man said, let me try. Well, the minister was reluctant, but he thought, it's just sitting there, unused. So I'm going to let this old guy try. Well, the old guy worked on it for 2 days in silence, never said a word, just worked. The minister became a little concerned, as ministers tend to do. And then, on the third day at noon, people heard this beautiful music. And they started coming all around to hear this organ in this beautiful little church. When they got there, the old man was sitting at the organ playing it. And the people and the minister said, how did you do that? The world's experts couldn't do it. How is it you made it work? And the old man said, because I created it. I'm the one who installed this. And it was made uniquely for this church in a specific way. And now I have restored it. We want so badly to be close to God at times. We want so badly to see God in our lives. But we don't become passionate about it. And yet, He's the Creator. God created you and me. And if anyone can restore us, it's God. And until we get that passion to make that connection, will we ever see restoration? Will we ever know what it really means to have that relationship in our lives? During Jesus' time, our world had gotten off track and no longer listened to God, but listened to man. Jesus came into the world to restore us back to God. That's why Jesus came. And here's one way you can know for a fact that Jesus wasn't talking about Jesus. Jesus was talking about God. He said, everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. Jesus says, you can say what you want about me. You can say you don't believe in me. That's fine. But you better believe in Him. I'm restoring you. I'm telling you through all of these scriptures that you heard, I'm letting you know how to restore yourselves and allow God to restore you through my words. The question for us today is, are we selfless, giving, and forgiving? Are we all the things that Jesus taught, or do we say, no, you know, that one's really tough. I can't do that. What is our goal as followers of Jesus? What kind of people are we? So all kinds of people in life. Promise I'll let you eat. A man fell into a pit and couldn't get himself out. A sympathetic person came along and said, I feel for you down there. A philosopher came along and said, it's logical someone would fall down there. A priest said, only bad people fall into a pit. A mathematician calculated how he fell into the pit. A news reporter wanted the exclusive story on how he fell into the pit. A realist said, that's a pit. A scientist calculated the pressure necessary to get him out of the pit. A geologist told him to appreciate the rock strata in the pit. The county inspector asked if he had a permit to dig a pit. A professor gave him a lecture on the elementary principles of the pit. And then an evasive person came along and avoided the subject of his pit altogether. A narcissist said, you haven't seen anything until you've seen my pit. An optimist said, things could be worse. A pessimist said, things will get worse. Jesus, seeing the man, took him by the hand and lifted him out of the pit. If we are true followers of Jesus, we will not analyze people's predicaments. We will help them out of their predicament. Another way to say that is we will restore them to life abundant, which is what Jesus said he wanted to do. I want to restore you to life abundant. That's my goal. What is your goal? That is what Jesus tells us God wants from us. Paul says, night and day we pray most earnestly we may see you face to face and restore whatever is lacking in your faith. Then he adds, now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another. Love for one another. And for all, just as we abound in love for you. And may He so strengthen your hearts in holiness that you may be blameless before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all His saints. I want to restore you just as Jesus came to restore us to the faith, that we may be passionate about our relationship with the Lord. We commune. But what do you do when you commune? Are you communing and enjoying the juice and the bread? Or are you communing and enjoying the relationship with Jesus Christ? Jesus, Paul, Peter, and many others throughout history have preached restoration. And if ever we need restoration in our world, it's today. If people would be restored, if people were restored, our churches wouldn't be dying. Wars might decrease. And love would abound. Let us pray. Gracious God, as we come before you today, we know that we haven't always followed the teachings of your Son. We know that oftentimes we fall short and we ask your forgiveness. Lord, I give you thanks and praise for this congregation, for their love for you, for their willingness to take part in the service, for their willingness to do your work. Each and every one of these folks love you, Lord. We ask that you continue to be with each of us, that you hold us in your loving arms, and that you help us and restore us to being true followers. And Lord, as we leave this sanctuary, we'll be going to break bread and take the cup, and we ask that you bless the food to the nourishment of our bodies, to give us the strength and the courage to be the people you have called us to be. For we ask this in your Son's holy name. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.